Let's just sit quietly for a moment or two. Well, I say good morning again. My name's Andre. I think you all know that. So I'd like to welcome you each to our worship service this morning. So all year we've been focusing on the four G's: the gather, the grow, give and go. So what a journey it's been with these four foundations. And it's ongoing, it doesn't have to end. So let's do it today. We're gathered, we're here. We have the opportunity to grow and to give. And you often hear me say to give of ourselves in whatever way God requires. And then we'll go out and give it to someone else. So let's worship together.
Morning, all.
Morning, Sam.
Today, in a world that can feel uncertain, I wonder what the word hope means for you. Turn to the person next to you and explain what hope means for you. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I'm going to say that again. "Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." How cool is that? As I started preparing for Christmas this week, and I know it sounds like, I don't know if it came to a shock to you, but I was starting Christmas preparations and I went, oh, Christmas is coming. I found this Bible verse and it stood out to me. "Those that were involved in the first Christmas must have had so much hope in what was going to happen. A hope that didn't rely on things that were seen, but instead, it was based on a promise of more than they could imagine." Today, I wonder what your hope is. What are you waiting excitedly for? The Christmas season can bring many emotions, and some of them can be emotions that we don't want to think about. However, I wonder this morning, as we continue to worship, can you focus on the hope, that thing that you're waiting for?
Let's place our hope in him today. Let's pray. Mighty God, you have answered your people many times with awesome and righteous deeds. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the furthest seas. You have formed the mountains by your power. Today, Lord, we're reminded of the hope in this season. The hope to know that you are strong and in control. You are the Lord, with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. Let our hearts be in awe and our mouths sing praises of the wonders that you perform. Help us today to always remember that the hope you bring is in every season. Fill our waiting hearts with the hope of your calling as we are reminded of the abundant riches of our inheritance, which we share with all the saints. And we pray this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
The reading today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Anne, for bringing us the scripture. We're going to open that and dig into that a little bit more this morning. My name's Dominic. I'm a recovering workaholic. Well, let's just say trying in that department. Nah, still in the midst of it at the minute, and it's a privilege to be able to lead the community here. It really is. Yes, we are looking forward to warmer weather. Yes, we are looking forward to things that are going to be different. But we will miss you guys, because you guys make the church here, and you've been our family for 7 years. Nathaniel was in a nappy when we first arrived here. Got a picture of him at our installation, still wearing a nappy. So he's lived most of his life here, which has been a privilege. Anyway, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about living with hope, and Sam's already done a beautiful introduction looking at hope again today. And hope's obviously this lead-up time as we move towards Christmas. Dare I say it, it's around the corner, and every year I say it comes at us like a freight train because it's just chaotic. I braved the shops yesterday for Good Friday, not for the sales, but just had to go out, and it's insane, isn't it? You know, it's insane the amount of people that are getting around, but that's just what happens, that's what we do. Now this morning, if you haven't got one of the handouts, put your hand up. Gillian has got them there beside you. I think most people have, if you want them. It's just some notes we're going to look at this morning, some blanks to fill in for you to take with you as we go. But what I want to pray before we start this morning. Is that okay? While Gillian's handing that out, let's just pray. God, we just want to have open hearts and open minds this morning. And we want to do that because we come because we want to hear from you. Lord, may it not be the words that I speak this morning, but may it be through your Spirit, the words that we allow to permeate our lives, the words that have been handed down from generation to generation, the words that have been left for us. May those words speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There was some great just scripture and song lyrics this morning, I've got to say, that just really encouraged me this morning, just hearing those lyrics and just being able to sit with that. So what are the things that you hope for? We certainly hope for different things. Sometimes we hope for a good night's sleep. We hope that the visit to the dentist will not involve any drilling. Hey, who hopes that every time they have to go to the dentist? Yes, we do that. We hope for a day off. We hope sometimes to be able to take a deep breath, don't we? I love this morning, Andre said, just take a moment to stop. We need that sometimes, don't we? A moment just to stop. That's sometimes a more of a luxury these days, isn't it? You know, a luxury to be able to fit that into our day, to be able to stop. This week, Nathaniel and James, they both celebrated birthdays. Happy birthday, boys. Way up the back. They both went from single digits to double digits. So that's exciting. And they, I know in Nathaniel's case, he received messages from family and friends because they wanted to give him good messages of hope. You know, best wishes. Hope you have a great day. You know, because they truly want that for someone when someone has a birthday, don't we? We pass on those good wishes to be able to do that. Hope that they have a great day. Has anyone seen the movie Shawshank Redemption? It's an old movie now. It is one of my favourites. It's really amazing. The Shawshank Redemption has a main character, Andy Dufresne, played by Tim Robbins. And in a sentence to two, he gets sentenced to two life sentences back to back for the murder of his wife and her lover. And as for those who have seen the movie, they know he was falsely accused of these things, but he was convicted and sent off to prison. But after building confidence in the warden, he endeavoured to build a library. He's seen this wasted time within that prison wall. So he kept saying, can we get a library, can we get a library? And he goes, well, you know, you need to write away and get books. So he wrote. And he wrote and he wrote, continued getting rejection after rejection after rejection. Then one day he was summoned to the warden's office to be confronted by boxes upon boxes of books that arrived to fulfill his dream for the library. In working through the books, he finds a series of records and decides to share a little bit of hope with his fellow inmates. By locking himself in the office while the prison guard who was supervising him went off to the bathroom, locked himself in the office, selected a record of Mozart and played it over the prison's loudspeaker. And in the image, the whole prison just stops and looks up at the speakers as to where this sound had been coming from. And at the sound, it was deathly quiet, at which the warden comes in disgust, taps on the window, to which he just turned up the volume even further. So the warden smashes down the window, takes him off to solitary confinement, where he has to spend a little bit of time to do that. We're going to see a little clip now for a moment, which is just after that has taken place, if we can have that now.
Hey, look who's here.
Maestro.
Hey. You couldn't play something good, huh? Hank Williams or something?
They broke the door down before I could take requests.
Was it worth it? 2 weeks in the hall?
Easiest time I ever did.
Oh, shit. No such thing as easy time in the hall.
That's right. A week in the hall is like a year. Damn straight.
I had Mr. Mozart to keep me company.
So they let you tote that record player down there, huh?
It's in here. In here. That's the beauty of music. They can't get that from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music?
Well, I played the mean harmonica as a younger man. Lost interest in it, though. Didn't make much sense in here.
Here's where it makes the most sense. I need it so you don't forget.
Forget?
Forget that there are places in the world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch. It's yours.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
Hope. Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. It's got no use on the inside. Better get used to that idea.
Like Brooks did.
As he said, Morgan Freeman there said, hope can drive a man insane, he says. It's got no use on the inside. You better get used to that idea. You see, Red had lost hope for the future. He went up against the parole board a number of times to get rejected time and time and time again for his parole. And he resigned himself to prison life, as many of them did, to give up on hope rather than change. Last Sunday in Canberra, and there was a gentleman by the name of Paul Whittle, which is I'll be up on the screen in a moment, gave a visual presentation at Parliament House by laying down 2,500 empty shoes to represent men's suicide within Australia. Sorry, I didn't expect that. Suddenly we see the tragic loss of hope within everyday Australians. Like such a powerful reminder of what that's like. Statistics tell us that between 40 to 50 men take their lives each week within our country. Isn't that a lot? Many others live out with fear, resignation and despair. But hope is one of those important things in life that help us, don't they? Help a life to flourish and to experience the richness, not financial richness, but the richness of what life has to offer. So what is hope? Is it just wishful thinking or being positive? In the Bible, it's not just wishful thinking like that. Like, I hope to have a good holiday, or I hope to be better soon. It's not just positive thinking or being optimistic in the face of difficulties. This sort of hope can be really naive, can't it? Like going to the dentist. But the sort of hope can be naive and sound, actually sometimes contrite, when we are in the middle of hard times, can't we? Desmond Tutu's got the quote up there on the screen. The South African bishop in the time of apartheid said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." From someone who'd seen complete darkness, his quote was, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite the darkness." In the face of apartheid and the unjust abuse of the Africans, he is not naive or blind to that reality. These aren't just empty words. It's not just wishful thinking, and he says this because he knows that Christ is the light of the world. Isn't that? That's hope right there. He's the light of the world. And one of the things that I kept picking up on this morning within the lyrics is that he's defeated death. And on the day come the promise, you know, when Jesus rose again. It's not just an empty thing. It's a hope that we can live for. He could look into the darkness of apartheid and see that Christ has and will defeat darkness and injustice. He was living with the hope of a better future, which we all want to live for, don't we? But sometimes it gets a little bit dark, and to be able to look forward to that. But hope is being able to look forward with anticipation by looking back and seeing that God has acted and can be trusted for the future. So we come to church, we're sharing this morning now in the Grow group and looking at the fact that we come together to remind ourselves of the story. You know, we come at this season when we start thinking about Christmas and what that means, we go back and start reminding ourselves of the stories and the hope that it had for the people back then. But not only for them, but the hope it has for us for the future. Yeah? Yeah. The unseen, the eternal that we look towards. Hope is often born in difficult times. That's point number one there. Hope is born in difficult times. Difficult times or the hard facts of life can produce despair or hope. We can live in those moments with despair or hope. Alan D. Bottom is a writer who argues that the difference between hope and despair is a different way of telling stories from the same facts. What story do we tell ourselves in the face of difficult times and experiences? It comes down to what stories we tell ourselves. As many of you know, we our house, the quarters for here, the church house, is going through renovations at the moment. And I know for us as a family, we made the choice to vacate because I didn't want to live with builder's dust and builders coming to greet me early in the morning. We made a choice around that. But in the process of that become this irritation of living out of a suitcase for 2 months. It's not ideal, is it? You know? Like I said, I own the choice of that. But I can either live in despair and go, oh, you know, woe to me. I can't stand this. And sometimes I can't. But I can live on the other side and go, actually, this is only for a season. This is going to change. It'll make me certainly appreciate sleeping on a real bed in a little while. But we can either, we got to look at our situations and circumstances and decide whether we live in despair or we look forward in hope in those circumstances. The difference between hope and despair is a different way of telling stories from the same facts. Number two there, God provides us with hope that he will act. God provides us with hope that he will act. John the Baptist offers hope and invites people to anticipate a person who is yet to come. So there's a 400 years of silence since God last spoke. There was prophecies written with through Scripture of the promised Messiah. You know, Isaiah spoke about 800-900 years before Jesus actually turned up. Jesus still spoke through the prophet. It's not Jesus. God still spoke through the prophet. And then there's this 400 years of silence. And the first voice to come out was this guy, John the Baptist. As we heard in the Scripture, he was dressed with a belt made of camel hair. And what was the other thing? Leather belt. Camel's hair. The cloak was made of camel's hair. And he ate honey and wild locusts. I like honey. I don't dip my wild locusts in it. You know, but here comes this odd person, somewhat odd, though, like that's the way it sort of depicts in Scripture, isn't it? He didn't come from the temple, I guess is what I'm saying. He wasn't one of the religious leaders where they chose him and said, like, okay, go and start talking about Jesus who is yet to come. Go and start talking about the Messiah. Yes, Ian. He was the son. So he grew up. He comes from a line of leaders out of that space, but then comes from left field and starts speaking of this one who is yet to come. And remember, you've got the whole Roman oppression, so they weren't free to govern their own country in Roman oppression, and they're desperately waiting for the Messiah to come, desperately waiting for something to change, for there to be a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord. That was John the Baptist. He came to give them a story of hope in the cold, hard facts of Roman rule. He knew that God was faithful in his promises, and because God had acted in the past and would again act in the future. Imagine the message he had to bring. You know, not only would it been hard to step out of his comfort zone, but really to put his head above water, hey, and be ready for whatever he would have received, or whatever criticism or whatever condemnation come his way. And ultimately, we know it cost him his life for what he did. But he was prepared to stand in that space. He's seen God had acted in the past, and he believed in hope that he would again act into the future. Because he said that after me comes one more powerful than I. While I baptize you with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He brought a promise that God will come and act in the world, and not the wishful thinking or the blind optimism, but a hope grounded in the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. He knew that God had done and promised in the past, and was now offering this hope into their future, into their immediate future, as we know. Now, we live today on the other side of those stories, don't we? Like, you know, and I think I'm grateful that we live on that side of the story. The people hearing John the Baptist did not know anything about Jesus. They didn't know what he was bringing. They didn't know what that was all was going to take place. They had not seen his life, heard his teaching, witnessed his death on the cross, or his resurrection from the dead. They hadn't experienced any of that like we can see today. But they knew that he was coming. As Christmas approaches this year, we live in a different time and can tell a different story of hope, a better story of hope. We have a story that gives us hope for the future and an anchor for our souls. And even in the face of difficult times, we can hang on to that. In the fact of the apartheid and the despair, Desmond Tutu told the story of Jesus and his victory over sin, death, and darkness. That he spoke the words of hope. He told a story of healing and reconciliation, not a story of violence and despair. He gave them a message that God provides us with a story of hope, doesn't he? He gives us a story of hope. Point three, Jesus is the reason for the season. No, that's not the answer. I had to say that, sorry. Jesus is the reason for us to live with hope. Jesus is the reason for us to live with hope. In difficult times, nationally and globally, we can remember that difficulty comes and has been common to every period of history, isn't it? If you look through the history, particularly the history within the church, there's You know, there's many difficult times that have happened. Empires and politicians come and go, yet God remains the same and will one day put everything right once and for all. God is a creator and the servant king who, in Acts, says will restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. So he brought Jesus, but we're still anticipating what is to come from that. In the face of challenging facts of climate change, of financial stress, global conflict, there is this story of hope that still happens and not despair, a story that is there for us today. And we might have our own difficult times. You know, there's enough going on globally, but I don't know about you, but sometimes we have got our own difficulties in life, don't we? You know, and challenges that we face. We can choose to remember that Jesus had defeated death and nothing can separate us from his love. And when the Bible says nothing in all creation in Romans can separate us from the love of God, it means that nothing can separate us from his love. Yeah, but what about no? Nothing. But what about no? Because according to Scripture and the promises that are laid down before us, it says that nothing can separate us from his love. And the best part about it is Jesus has promised to return and wipe away every tear from our eyes and can be trusted. Now, that doesn't mean that the end to troubles of today's life, doesn't mean that those troubles don't come our way, does it? I've still got to go to the dentist and face my fears of someone putting metal into my teeth for a good purpose, which sometimes at that moment you don't understand. It doesn't mean that we're not going to come up against those challenges, but we've got to determine what we're going to do with our story. We can live in despair or we can choose hope, can't we? Live in despair or choose hope. Hope is not a feeling but a choice and an action. It is the story that we tell, the story that changes the way we live and we act. And our story is that a God who loves us has defeated death, has endured suffering, and we can live in hope that knowing that he's done that. As the events of the Shawshank Redemption film played out, Red comes to see the wisdom of Andy's story of hope. Andy escaped from the prison in something remarkable and something I could not even comprehend to this day. But as Red can look back on this act to trust Andy that we do have hope for the future. In a voiceover at the end of the movie, he says, this is Red speaking, he says, "I hope I can make it across the border. I hope I can see my friend and shake his hand. I hope that the Pacific is blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope." Andy raised that standard for him and encouraged him to have a different level of hope in life. It doesn't just isn't surrounded by steel and concrete as they'd experienced their life. As Red had entered prison as a teenager, there was more out there that he was able to experience. Hope is powerful, it's life-changing. In light of the story of Jesus, we too can live as people of hope at Christmas time, can't we? Actually, we can live all year round. It doesn't have to be just at Christmas time, but Christmas certainly highlights that for us. Let me pray for you this morning. Is that okay? Let's do that. Father God, we thank you that we are people of faith, hope and love, and that we can give thanks that you invite us to join your story of forgiveness, of peace and reconciling all things. Today, Lord, we give thanks for Jesus, for coming into this world, not as society expected, but to show love for us and love for the world. And we just thank you for the way that Jesus came through history to serve and to show us the kingdom of light. We pray, Lord, today as many struggle. We all struggle. There's people in this room today who are struggling. And we do lose hope at times and hope for the future. Father, you know us each so well and you know what concerns us. But we ask that today that we would experience your deep love that you have for us, that you are there beside us, your presence is with us, and you've sent your promised Holy Spirit to be part of that. Help us to be a community of hope, Lord, to live that out in our lives, and as we go from here as a scattered church into the community, may we carry that with us, reflecting your love to people that we come on into contact with this week. We ask that as people of hope here today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me leave you with this hopeful benediction. Be people of hope. Let hope live in your heart and share the hope of Christ with all you meet. Share hope by noticing someone else's humanity. Share hope by listening to someone else's story. Share hope by praying for our world. And in this season, we need to see, feel, and share hope, don't we? And as you go out to wonder of God's creation, share hope with those you meet. Bless you each. Great to see you all. And we look forward to seeing you all again soon.